Hello and welcome to Empowered the Podcast. My name is Linda and I am your host. I am an empowerment coach, a spirit junkie, a realtor, a proud mom, and a dog mom. I'm also an animal advocate, a child advocate, and someone that overcame a lot of challenges and trauma in my life. This podcast is packed with powerful content, inspiring conversations with amazing guests who will help you heal, grow, and evolve into a better version of you so you can attract in your best and most empowered life. I don't know about you, but I'm not here for mediocrity. I'm here for an abundant, blessed life. Life does not have to be so hard. That is an old program. We can do less and attract more, and I know this to be true. I love bringing you this powerful information. I hope you enjoy, learn, and grow. Have a beautiful day. Hello, and welcome to Empowered the Podcast. I'm your host, Linda Brand. Welcome back. Today's guest is an artist, a writer, a philanthropist, a life and abundance coach. She's a mentor, a mother, a wife, and has such a colorful, beautiful story to share with us. She was an actress at 17 years old. She was a model. She started her journey of self-development in 2008. She changed her whole life, and she has dedicated the last 15 years to empowering people, especially children and women. She has also written children's books, and she has a journal and some other books and a wonderful podcast called Don't Shrink to Fit. And I'm super excited to talk to Claudia Bernstein, and we're going to dive in. So welcome, Claudia, to the show. Thank you for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
So tell us about your journey. You have such a rich past. You were born in Peru, and now you're here in the U.S. And where are you in the world?
I am in Las Vegas. I have been living here for 30 years, but I lived first in Miami for a couple of years. Okay. And then my husband at that time got a contract to do a show here in Las Vegas, so we moved. And all my girls have been born here. So a big change right from the get-go.
Yes. What does your husband do?
He passed away like 4 years ago, and he used to be an entertainer.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. So tell us about your journey. So you started out as an actress. You were a famous actress in a soap opera that over 37 countries.
It was kind of like I don't believe in coincidence, but something that it was not planned. I was going to my acting classes, actually, and a producer saw me through a window and offered me a movie. I went home. I told my mom, and my mom said, out of the question, you're not doing that. At that time in my country, being an actress wasn't something that people see a positive thing. It was very much a cultural reaction. And so she said, no. So I called him. I said, my mom doesn't want me to do it. I was 17 years old. So he called me back like a few months later, and he offered me a soap opera. And I was like 4 months before my 18th birthday. So I recorded a soap opera for 4 months or so without a contract. I keep saying, I'll bring it tomorrow, bring it tomorrow. And behind my mom's back, she thought I was still going in the afternoon to my acting lessons, but I was going to the studio to record. And then she found out when the soap opera actually aired. And it was
My God. Oh, wow. That's hilarious. Oh my God, that's funny. So you wanted to be an actress. You were in acting classes.
I was in acting classes because I loved the sisterhood. I loved the group. I loved to improvise. It was never in my head, I want to be a famous actress. It was not something that I would tell people, you know, I want to be an actress. No, it was presented to me. I actually first started going to this lessons because they had a mime, like, you know, the mimes.
Yeah.
So they had mime lessons, and I was fascinated with that. So I started taking different classes, you know, to talk in front of an audience. Yeah. I thought it would be interesting, but not with the idea that, oh, one day I'm going to be a famous actress.
So what did you want to be?
It was so funny because people ask me that. And when I was a kid, when I was really small, I wanted to be a nun. because I was going to school with German nuns, and I was fascinated with them and everything that they do. And I used to wear a t-shirt. I used to put a t-shirt in my head and flip it over so it would look like I was a nun, and I would walk around everywhere with that. I love being around them, and I think it was more like I love the way they make me feel, so I want other people feeling the same way. So
So
I
you
want to emulate them, right?
like you wanted to be a teacher kind of thing because they were your teacher,
Yeah.
right?
And
Okay.
it kind of developed into that because after, I mean, I always took our classes, and then when I went to school, I went to study production, direction, TV and film, and everything was related with art.
Yeah,
So
creative.
it was
Yeah.
something that was always calling me.
Beautiful. Okay, so I want to hear about the children's books. Where did those tell us the background, the backstory of what happened?
So when COVID happened, a couple of kids that I knew hurt themselves. And that was the beginning of me thinking we should have something or give parents some sort of tools to communicate with the kids. So when they are in an age where they don't know how to express their emotions, they know how to. I feel that trauma is the inability to be present. And oftentimes, when we have trauma, we don't see what's happening really around us. We're just stuck on that moment of pain. And that moment of pain is a really bad advisor because it kind of blocks you from seeing the possibilities you have in front of you. So that was the first thing my first motivation. And I actually, before I started the books for children, I created a journal for children called My Gratitude Journal. And that was the beginning of all this children saga, you know, that I
Oh,
am
wow.
now.
Yeah, that's
Because
beautiful.
that journal was used in a study from UNLV, which is the University of Las Vegas, Nevada. From UNLV had a program called Kids Court, which is a program that helped children get familiar with the judiciary system. So when there's kids that have been abused or are immigrants and they don't have representation or they are in a custody battle or anything that would create anxiety for kids when they go to court, they would go to this program and they would get familiar with the court. Who's the judge? Who's the police that is standing there? Should I be afraid? I should not be afraid. These people are looking after me. So I met a professor and I shared with her the story of my journal. And I met her because I created a foundation with my husband called the Bernstein Children's Rights, where we would give money to the foundation, obviously, to get legal representation to children that would come unaccompanied from another country. There is a lot of children that get here without their parents
Oh my
because
goodness.
whatever is happening in their country. So those children go to court and they don't have anybody to represent them. Or sometimes they will have somebody who is just
Doesn't care.
appointed by the
Yeah,
judge, but
and
he
they don't
doesn't
care.
care. Right. So this lady, this professor, was working with us to help these children that were going to be represented by our foundation to get familiar with the judiciary system. And
Wow.
then she loved my journal and she created a study to see if these kids had a more positive disposition after they write in the journal for a period of time, because the journal would motivate them to focus in the positive of each day and be grateful instead of the circumstances they were going through. So that was kind of the beginning. And once I started with that, then my journal was share with some of the magnet schools here in Vegas. They were sent to different places in the United States. And that kind of motivated me to create the books. And the books came as a coincidence, kind of it, although I said I don't believe in coincidence, but I was having an interview in a podcast. And at the end of the podcast, I was talking to this guy that was interviewing me, and he said to me, "What is store for you for next year?" And I said, "I don't know, maybe I will finally publish my children's books." And he goes, "I have a publisher." You know, I'm a publisher. I can do that for you. So we talk about it, and he published my books. So it
Wow.
wasn't even planned. And that's the beauty of life, I think, you know, that things are presented to you, and if you are open to receive them, they can become something wonderful. And that's what happened with the books, you know. And now my books are in so many places, are
Yeah.
in South America. Another
Yeah.
publisher took it under their wing and are in Argentina, in Colombia, in Peru, and
Yeah.
of other
I love
countries.
that. So I've been writing in gratitude for over 10 years because of my health condition doing it at that time. So I'm a huge gratitude person, and I know already what those results were with your study because it's extremely important and extremely powerful. I just love the children advocacy. That's so beautiful that you are helping those kids that were not represented fairly. That's such a beautiful thing that you guys did. And open to receive, you were saying when you're open to receive, it shows up. I'm teaching a course tomorrow, Worthy Women. And the second week is the O is open to receive. And it's just, you just said it. And I just was like, yes, this is something that we have to learn how to receive and be open. It's so interesting. But tell us you wrote the books, the children's books. So what was your intention with the books? You were gonna
You
eventually.
know, since my girls were little, I have tell them stories. And when my oldest daughter was in kindergarten, I wrote a story. I took it to Kinko's. I put the little spiral thing. I draw myself the drawings, you know, the illustrations. And I gave it to her, and the teacher read it in school. And my daughter was fascinated with that. So I always like to write little stories for my daughters. And when COVID happened, and after I wrote the journal, I started to think about all these difficult subjects that we sometimes don't approach the right way and create those traumas for the kids. And then as an adult, you pay the consequences. You know, there is a lot of adults that don't even remember their childhood because they had so much trauma that their brain just blocked everything. So I thought to myself, what are the subjects that I can talk about that has been impactful for my own children? And I was able to navigate in a way that didn't create a trauma for them, that they were familiar with them and they embraced it and they accepted it. So one of them was obviously the divorce, because I went through a divorce and I was able to manage that part of my life in a positive way. I had an incredible relationship with the father of my kids until the day he passed. And I wanted to give those tools to other parents so they could communicate with their kids and have the opportunity to ask them questions and receive whatever experience the kid was going through by reading the book. So in the back of the book, you have prompts that you can use to communicate with their kids. Then I thought about what
Brilliant.
is other subject that is difficult, is grieving. So let's talk about grieving in a way that children understand, that is not being, nobody's abandoned them, nobody's leaving them. The same way that they feel is my fault when parents get divorced. When somebody that they love die, they feel abandoned. Why did they leave? What did I do? How can I change this? Maybe if I'm a better kid, that person will come back. So if you, instead of focus so much into the person dying, you start paying attention to the times that you spend with that person and the value of those times and how your memories with that person are going to be with you forever, even though that person is no longer with us, then you are rescuing something positive from a really not good situation. So I wrote the book for grieving, which is called Where Did Grandma Go? And the third one was something that I always told my girls when they were little, and actually I did it because it served me, which was secrets don't include mom. So you can come and tell me anything because you're safe. And when somebody tell you this is a secret, it doesn't include mom. Moms are exempt from that. So my kids grew up thinking that they could tell me anything because it's okay. And until now that they are adults, They will come and share things with me that they don't like. My oldest daughter called me the other day, and her best friend shared something with her, and she says, "Mom, I gotta tell you something, but it's vault, like don't tell anybody." I'm like, "I won't tell anybody." And she shared that with me because they grew up knowing.
Oh, you're brilliant, Claudia. My God. I mean, because the books, the subjects of the books, the grieving, the divorce, the secrets, I mean, these are so powerful and important and significant in this day and age. Oh my gosh. I mean, but divorce is so common. I mean, I had a lady on my, and she said she had this great childhood. And then at 16 years old, her parents got divorced out of nowhere. And it really just was like, it just turned her life, she got
Upside
into
down.
drugs. Yeah, she got into drugs and alcohol. And I mean, and now she's healed all the things and she's doing breath work and practicing that. But she was drinking and all these things. And it's like that was the divorce and what it did to her. So I just love that you picked those amazing subjects. I'm so fascinated. I love it. And I love the name Brighter Days because I'm all about like I grew up in a little bit of negativity and criticism and I have my own traumas and everybody has their own versions and I'm a child advocate too. And I also like we're all like children inside these adult bodies
We all
anyway.
have, you know what, Linda? We have that child in us. That 6-year-old is part of who you are. And when you honor that child, when you acknowledge that child, when you, in a way, can go back to you, to your soul, and say, it's okay. Whatever happened, it's okay. We're still here. I'm still here with you. I'm proud of you for overcoming whatever you had to overcome. And now, together, we're going to go to the next level. But you're not coming to that next level by yourself. I'm not going to my next level by my 57-year-old. I'm going with my 6, with my 12, with my 18, with my 25, with my 38. I'm going with all of them because they, all these women, are part of who I am now. Without them, I would not be who I am now.
That's
So I
right.
learned to embrace and to honor all these ages of myself and acknowledge them for what they did, for what they didn't do, and also for keep on going. Because like you said, your client, there is a lot of us that don't have the strength sometimes to just say, okay, the world as I saw it doesn't exist anymore. And now I have this world and I have to embrace it. A lot of people don't have that strength. And that's why they go and run away with alcohol and drugs and all that stuff because it numbs you from the pain. It makes you not think about it. And that's what you ultimately want to do. But if you are able to find the tools to deal with those emotions when you are going through those emotions, then you're embracing those feelings, you're getting familiar with those feelings, and you're learning from those feelings.
The book that you, I just want to touch back on the books. You had mentioned that in 2020 that these kids were hurting themselves. Those weren't the little kids that you wrote those divorce and the grieving and
No,
the
they were, teenage
teenagers.
kids that were caring like your clients. They were at 16, 17 years old, and they didn't have answers and they didn't know where to go. And they felt overwhelmed and they felt there was no other option for them. And they were doing stupid things and they were hurting themselves. So I thought, how can we change the narrative? How can we change the next generation, so they are not in that place where these kids now with COVID, that they don't have social life, that they don't have anybody to interact with, that they don't have somebody to give them comfort, can go.
So what
So
did
let's
you?
start with them when they're little and give them
Oh,
the
got you.
tools to digest these emotions and learn to communicate.
Yeah.
When you're hurt, let's talk about it. I'm curious. Tell me how you feel. What do you think it should be the alternative? Why do you think you feel that way? How can I help you so you understand?
That's great. So Okay. So did you create a book in 2020, a different one, or was that the journal, the
My
gratitude?
first book was Brighter Days. And the reason why I published Brighter Days was in 2019. I created, I published it at the beginning of 2020. And I did it because I spent many years of my life being sick. I had cancer 3 times.
Oh my
And
gosh.
my kids' childhood was in a lot of times shared with radiation and hospital and doctors.
Oh my
So
goodness.
as much as they became very resilient because they saw me getting up and go every time, they also grew up with the fear that my mom can die because they were very much in touch with mortality. So I wanted to write a book with a lot of lessons that I have learned in the event that I'm not around. So they can read that and they can share that with their kids and they can remember little times that we had together, that they were joyful times, but they left that with a lesson. So I wrote Brighter Days, which is 88 lessons for women. And I talk about my journey. I talk about, everything from when I was a kid until, when I got divorced and I got married again and things with my kids. So that was kind of like a work of love for my daughters.
Was it a memoir? Is it a teaching memoir?
It is not really a memoir. You could say that they have some parts in the book that I talk about my stuff. My memoir is in the making. It's not published yet. I actually had a meeting a couple of months ago with a publisher that wants to publish that, and it probably will be done by in 9 months of from now. But that wasn't a memoir. That was a book with anecdotes, and lessons.
Nothing's what it looks like. I just want everyone to hear this one statement I'm about to make, which is nothing is what it looks like. Because I look at you and you're so beautiful and you show up so amazing. And I would never have guessed you struggled with cancer or sickness for a year, all of that. Like it's nothing is what it looks like. I mean, it's just incredible. I want to go to 2008 when you started into the self-development. You were at an emotional intelligence. That's where your kind of journey switched into the life coaching and all that. Tell us about that.
I was in a moment in my life where I didn't really like myself. And it's funny, Linda, because as you say, nothing is what it looks like. People will look at me and they have looked at me my whole life and think that I have it all figured out. And it's just the way I show up, right? It's my defense mechanism. But inside me, I was very troubled because it was like nothing was good enough. Nothing fulfilled me. Nothing made me jump out of bed in the morning. And I was 7 years engaged with my husband now, but I was engaged with him. We were not living together because for me it was very important to keep that space for my daughters and not bring
I
another
like that.
person,
Good for you.
especially, thank you, especially because number one, because they're a girl, but especially because I didn't want like my ex-husband used to say, you didn't want anybody messing up with your project. And that is true. I didn't want anybody messing up with my project. I had a very clear idea how I wanted to raise my kids, and I didn't want any influence
You did
from
a fine.
an outsider.
You did a
So
beautiful job.
thank you. So I was engaged, and he kept asking me, when are we gonna get married? And I keep moving it, and I keep moving it because I felt that there was something that was not aligned, and I didn't know what it was. So I called one of my friends and I said, I'm moving back to Peru. I'm gonna break up with him and I'm moving back to Peru. My country, I always have a job. I can always go back to acting. I can always go back to do a TV show, whatever I wanna do. So I'm just going back to Peru. This is gonna be good for my daughters. They're gonna learn a different language fluently, even though my oldest one is fluent in Spanish, but the other two resist. So I was about to do it, and she said to me, okay, I hear you, but let's go to this emotional intelligence seminar. It's like a conference kind of thing. It's 2 weekends. I will pay for it. Because at that time, I was a single mom and I didn't have $3,000 to just do it. And I said, no, you don't have to pay for it. I don't know if I'm going to do it, blah, blah, blah. So I went for a hike with my then fiance. And I said to him, and I was very honest. I'm always be very transparent. I mean, it's like, I think it's the best thing to do because it's
Yeah,
a
there's
lot
no
of
other.
work, you
Yeah, there's
know,
no other.
trying to
Exactly.
cover up, you know?
To memorize anything, it's just
Oh
you're
my gosh. Yeah,
just.
no, it's too much
I'm the
work.
same way. I'm the same way. I'm honest in every area of my life because there's, no other better way to be in business or. But anyway, yeah. So you were
So
taking a walk.
I said to him, I need. You know, I'm gonna go to this seminar. I'm gonna put it on my credit card. I don't know what I want. I love you, but I feel that there is something missing. I'm afraid to make a mistake. I don't want to expose my kids to a life that might not continue. I don't want to have another divorce. And he said to me, no, I'll pay for it. Just go. I'll pay for it. I'm like, no, I'm back and forth because, you know, the pride of the single mom, I can do everything myself. So I went and I did the discovery part, and then the following weekend was the breakthrough part. And when I went to the breakthrough part, and I had to acknowledge a lot of things that were my responsibility, it pulled me to from the victim place. And it pulled me from the victim place in a very raw way, where I have no more excuses. And when I graduated, because after that I had to do a leadership. That I didn't have to, but I wanted to do a leadership. And that's what actually the coaching was like so clear to me. You know, this is what I want to do. I want every
Wow.
woman that I know to go through this project. But the funny thing, Linda, was that since my daughters were little, I tried to portray this together, strong, I don't need anybody image. Because for me, that was what I needed to be for them. And when I graduated, I asked for the microphone, which is unheard. I don't do that. I let everybody else talk and I listen. I don't give me the microphone because I mean, I always believe that if I talk all the time, I'm not going to learn anything. I need to listen to other people so I can learn. So I grabbed the microphone and I thank everybody and I started to cry. And my kids were staring at me like if I was growing horns out of my head because they have never seen me cry. I would not cry in front of my girls. And they were like, oh my God, what have these people hurt mom? They hurt mom because she's crying. And I said to them, my biggest take out of this is that to be strong doesn't mean I cannot be vulnerable. And I am going to start showing up different to you because I want you to be able to be vulnerable. I want you to be able to have the courage to be vulnerable. So my whole speech was to them. The room had 120 people, but I was talking to them because I felt that I was doing a disservice to them by trying to be so together and so strong and so in control.
Right.
And
But
the
you
minute
had,
that
yeah, you had
I,
good intentions. I mean, you had good intentions to
but I
be
was doing it
strong.
wrong. I
Right,
was doing
right,
it wrong.
right.
And you know
It's.
what? In one of the ingredients to learn is to be open to accept, you know? It was a life-changing situation for me and experience. And after that, I'm like, I need to train, I need to learn, I need to learn tools that can serve me to be a better woman and a better mom and a better sister and a better friend. I apologize to my fiance for not allowing him to be there for me because a lot of things that I did in that engagement and in a lot of things that didn't go my way in quotes was because I wasn't allowing him to be there for me
Right.
because I wanted to do everything myself.
You weren't open to receive. You
I
were
wasn't open
blocked.
to
Yeah.
receive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who ended up paying for it? We all have to know. We want to know. Did
Oh, he paid for it. He
you
paid
let
for
him
it.
pay for it?
Yeah,
Okay.
no, he paid for it. And he says,
And
you know, and you know what? I'm going to tell you this. At the beginning, I said to him, okay, you pay for it and I pay you back. And one of the things that I learned in that retreat or conference, or whatever you want to call it, because it was 100 days, so it was long, was to receive. I wasn't able, Linda, to receive a compliment. Like, people will come to me and say, "Oh my God, you're so beautiful," and I go, "It's okay." Like, I will brush it off. "Oh, I love your dress. Oh, this thing, $14." I will minimize. I will never embrace whatever people had to say to me, because in a way, I didn't believe I was deserving of it. I didn't believe that what they were giving me, I should accept, because I deserve it. It's okay. It doesn't make me less if I receive.
We have a lot in common. We have a lot in common, I feel, because you've been on the self-love journey for a long time because you had, same. I have the same situation. Always strong. My mother never cried. I probably saw my mother cry once in her my entire life, once or twice, never as a child. But I'm just saying that the, strong, showing up strong. So I'd love to go. It just came to me while saying those words. I'd love to go into the spiritual stuff, like where were you spiritually when you were putting everything on your shoulders and you were raising these kids? And then you were a single mom, divorced, you met your fiance. Oh, and I also want to know where you met your fiance, because that's so curious, being a single woman. But so tell us about your spiritual practice, like prior to, like, you went through all these things and you were this strong woman, and then you went to the workshop and they kind of, I went to a workshop too that did similar, but like, so you, they basically breakthrough the whole thing where you realized all these things. It was such a gift that your friend introduced you to it and encouraged you. It changed your life. I mean, you could have, had you not gone, you might have went back to Peru, broke up with this guy, your whole life would be completely
My
different.
life would be totally different. And I don't think really that I was anywhere spiritually. When I was young, I was very curious about religion. And for me, spirituality was religion when I was growing up. I mean, I went to a nun school, so that
Oh,
was
that's
it,
right.
right? But then when I was a teenager, I was very curious about other religions. So I will go and hang out with the Krishnas and learn from there. I would have friends that were Mormons, and I was like, "Take me to your church. I want to learn. I want to see why you are a Mormon. You know, what pulls you to be in this community?" Or I had Jewish friends, and I'm like, "I want to go to temple. I want to learn about this." You know, so I was always very curious about spirituality, but I never really practiced it. And when I became a single mom, I didn't have time to go to the bathroom, let alone meditate. So I would once in a while meditate, but I didn't really know how to. So I would just lay down with my baby Sophia at that time and just listen to whatever music and try to breathe. And that was meditation for me. But I really didn't know much about it because I was go, 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 go. And I didn't give myself the gift of pausing. It was always one thing after another one. And that was my life. And for my kids was fun because it was never a dull moment. But for me, it was exhausting,
Oh, yeah,
you
it's
know?
exhausting.
So to your other question, I was the chef concierge of a high rise. And I, as a chef concierge, I had to organize the life of all these very wealthy people that were living in the high rise. And I had this lady that I used to hire. She was a hairdresser, and I used to hire her to come on the weekends. We had a beauty salon in the high rise. And she would come and do the hair of the residents there. But I never met her. And we were friends for like 2 years that I would call her and say, "Hey, Karen, I have Mrs. Whatever that wants you to do the hair." "Oh, yeah, whatever." And she would come on the weekends, but the weekends were my kids' time. So I was never on the weekend. One weekend after those 2 years, we had an event. And the kids were with their dad. So I went to work the event. And coincidentally, she was there. So I called her and I said, "Karen, I just want to tell you that I am in the tower. If you want to say hello, I'll stop by." She goes, "My gosh, come. We've been talking for 2 years in the phone. We don't know each other. Please come." So I went up there and she looked at me and she goes, "My God, you're gorgeous. You're Just like, okay, yeah, thank you, bye. Because that was me. Like, don't tell me any compliments. I don't want to hear them. Don't know how to handle them. And she goes, you need to meet my friend Eddie. And I'm like, oh no. Don't try to set me up with anybody because I don't have the time. I work from this hour. I had like three jobs. No, I don't. I have my own business doing, baskets for Mary Kay, and then I have my full-time job, and then I work in different things. So I was super busy, and my life were my kids. I didn't have time to date. So she invited me when she calls me back and she says, Claudia, there is this concert of the Moody Blues. I had no idea who the Moody Blues were. I mean, I'm from South America. There's nothing Moody Blues over there. So she goes, there is this concert for the Moody Blues, and my friend Eddie has extra tickets. You have to come. I want you to meet him. I told him everything about you. I'm like, what is there to say? I'm a single mom of three. Stop saying anything because that, right? So she's like, no, you have to meet him. You have to meet him. So I went home and I told one of my Mary Kay friends that was my neighbor, and I said to her, this lady invited for the Moody, and she goes, oh my God, I love the Moody Blues. They're amazing. And I'm like, I'm not gonna go because I never had a babysitter. So my kids were with me during the week and they were with their dad on the weekend, but I never like date or leave my kids with somebody. I didn't do that. So she said to me, I'll stay with the girls. And she knew them from forever. I mean, I got divorced when my youngest one was 11 months. So she knew them from forever. And so she stayed with them. And I went to the concert
Concert.
and I was introduced to this friend. And he was very opposite of me. He was a man who had a lot of world, who was, very successful, very secure of himself. And I didn't care too much for it. I thought it was like, this is not a world I want to be part of. Because although I was not very spiritual, I was very clear about my avatar, okay, who I want to be and what is going to, who's going to be in my tribe. And he didn't fit the requirements to an extent. So, and it was funny because I look at him and I was like, I know this person from somewhere, but I didn't know from where. And I was like, what school your kids go to? And he will say some private school, right? And I was like, no, my kids were going to public school. Or do you go to this place? Whatever. Trying to figure out where did I have I seen him before? No idea. So we the concert finished. He asked me to go for a drink. I told him no. He told me everybody was going, so I said sure. We got to the restaurant in the same hotel where was the concert. Nobody else showed up. It was just him and I. So I'm like, yeah, right. But I said to him right from the get-go, I said, you know what? I don't want to sound rude, but I am not your kind of girl. Like, practically, you're not going to get in my jeans. It's not happening. This is, listen, sorry, but I'm sorry you wasted your ticket, but this is not happening. And he was like, where are you from? I'm like, from Peru. And he's like, no, which planet? Because nobody has said that to me on the first date. And I go, well, this is not a date. We're meeting, but whatever. And he was like, okay, well, we talk a little bit about each other. And he walked me to the car. And I thought that was it. 2 days later, my phone rang and it was him. And he's like, Karen, give me your number. I want to take you out, blah, blah. And I was like, I didn't know because, and I was also thinking, I don't even know who this guy is. So I said, well, maybe, I don't know. I hung up the phone. I was doing laundry. And because the concert was a Thursday and this was like a Sunday. So my kids were with their dad and I was doing laundry. And I was talking with my friend in the phone and then his commercial show up on TV. And I was like, oh my God, this is the guy. This is the
That's
guy.
how
And my
you
friend
knew it.
is like, who? Which guy? And I go, the guy that went to the concert. He was a lawyer. And I thought he looked familiar because you know how sometimes you have the TV on and you're just not really watching, but you're listening or whatever. I used to do that when I would stay home alone, on the weekend doing whatever thing I had to do just to keep the company. And that was him. So now I was more hesitant about it because I was like, this guy probably think that he can get anybody and then I don't need to, But then we get to know each other. And I went to the movies with him. He found out one day that I was going to the movies with my girls because he called me, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to the movies with my girl." He showed up in the movie theater with his girls. So he started pursuing me, which I wasn't very happy when he showed up with his daughters because my kids were out, you know, like, don't try to meet my daughters. But I mean, he was
Okay.
persistent.
Yeah, I know. So were you attracted to him physically when you first met him?
I don't think I had an opinion, yes or no. He is an attractive man.
Yeah, I was just
He's
curious.
very secure. So sometimes that by itself,
Confident. Yeah,
he's
confident.
very confident. So he's
And
very, like, you know, he knows what he wants. So he wasn't, you know, beating around the bushes with me. He was just
yeah.
very straightforward. So there was a side of me that was very curious. But there was also a side of me that was scared. So
Right,
when
of
you're
course.
scared, you run away.
Yeah, exactly. No, I
But I
see it.
still look at my husband now and I think he's a very attractive man, you know? But at
Yeah.
that moment, I don't think that was like a
Yeah.
priority for me. It
Right.
was,
Yeah.
no.
Yeah, I was just, that was a curious question, but I already could hear just, I was like, listening to you going, of course he was interested in you, besides that you're beautiful, but like the fact that you were, you know, not so easy, you know what I mean? Harder to get.
Standoffish.
Yeah, you were like, stand up. That just draws the men love the hunt. Okay. Thank you for sharing how you met. I love that story. I love that story so much. That is so cool. It's the best way to meet through friends, you know. So I want to hear about Don't Shrink to Fit, where the name came from, because I love it, and about your podcast. And yeah, tell us about that. Something else that came to mind. I want to go backwards a little bit to the cancer stuff. Just were you a single mom with cancer? Like, who helped you? Like, what, how did you navigate?
The first time that I had cancer was in my thyroid, and I was not a single mom, but I separated a month after my surgery.
Okay.
I, you know, my husband at the time made some choices that I was not aligned with, and I
Okay.
decided this is not for me. And I asked him for a divorce, and my
Okay.
daughter was 11 months old. So it was tough. My second cancer, I was totally a single mom. It was a nodule between my heart and my lungs. And he was very supportive. Like, he would take the girls because I had extremely high doses of radiation and I had to be in the hospital for long periods of time. So he would help with the girls. We had really a good, great relationship. I mean, I was his roommate for a period of time. You know, I moved to his house and I live in the guest room for like a couple of months when I was in between places.
Nice,
So,
nice.
yeah.
Well, that's wonderful that you co-parented, that you were amicable, that you got along. I mean, that's so huge, raising children and then supportive and helpful through your health. That's incredible. So did let's see. So you went through, so you were single part of the time through your treatment. Then there was a third time you had cancer. I mean, you're clearly a
Third time I
miracle.
was already with my husband. I got
Okay.
pregnant.
Okay.
I didn't talk about that pregnancy for years because I was nobody's business and we didn't have podcasts at that time anyway. But it was like maybe 14 years ago. And I got pregnant and I woke up in the morning and the bed, I had lost the baby. So
Sorry.
I actually got up, I went to the bathroom and I came back and my husband said to me, "I think something is wrong because there is a lot of blood."
Was
And
this, which husband is this?
my current husband.
Okay.
And because that was the third time. So we went to the doctor and they told me I have lost the baby. I wasn't pregnant anymore. And when they did the ultrasound, they saw that I had cancer in my uterus. So they needed to have a hysterectomy. So it was a double whammy. That was a really hard part of my life because I love to be a mom and I was very excited about having a baby. Although my youngest one was like, I don't know, 10, probably 12 years old. And so it would have been starting over, but I was very happy about it. And knowing that I lost the baby and knowing that I never was going to have another baby was very traumatic for me.
Sorry
So
about all that.
thank you. So they removed my uterus and they removed 1.5 ovaries. So I wouldn't have the menopause so strong at such a young age. And that was that. And, knock on wood, it hasn't come back after that. I did a bunch of tests to see if it was generic because my sister got breast cancer. So I wanted to make sure that my uterus cancer was not related to that and I didn't have that gene and blah, blah, blah. And everything came out good. So, I mean, that was a period of time and I never had it again.
Wow, you've been through a lot. That's incredible. So, what happened to your first husband that passed away? It's so
He
wild.
had a
What?
stroke.
Oh
He had
my
a
gosh.
stroke and then he was intubated for 12 days. And then the neurologist said that his brain, even if we bring him back, his brain was gone.
Oh my
So
God. Wow. How old was he?
let me think, 57?
Oh my gosh, young. How did your girls handle? I mean, well, you had the
My
book, the
girls,
grieving book.
yeah. That's well, I my grieving book is dedicated to my kids. So they know that no matter what, and if you see it, and that I don't have it here next to me, but if you read the dedication, it says, so you know that your dad is always with you, no matter what. This is funny because in a way, like I told you at the beginning, my kids were always very aware of my mortality. So in a way, life prepared them to lose an important person in their life. When he died, when he passed away, my oldest daughter said to me, "I thought it was going to be you. Like, I have prepared my whole life to live without you at some point. I never thought that I had to deal with losing my dad." And she had an amazing relationship with their dad. Their dad was her biggest cheerleader. I mean, he was another child for me all the way, He was a play dad, he was a Disneyland dad
Right,
for
the
them.
entertainer. Yeah. How old
So
was
it,
your daughter that you're speaking of when her father passed?
so she was like 25, yeah. 20, 26, I'm sorry. And that was funny because we were talking about this the other day, and she's like, "You lost your dad when you were 25. I lost my dad when I was 26." And I'm like, "Yep. I
Oh,
lost my
wow.
dad when I found out my dad passed away when my oldest daughter was born, and I called him to tell him that he was a grandfather, and he had passed away 2 days before, and nobody said anything to me because I was so pregnant, and they knew I was gonna probably jump on a plane. Because he was in coma for a week.
Like, why was he in a coma? Did he, what happened to him?
He
Was
was he was he kind of had like an overdose of anesthesia and his heart stopped. It
Oh.
was a malpractice.
Did
So
you have a good relationship with your parents?
I had an amazing relationship with my dad. My dad was extremely brilliant. He was a
Oh.
journalist. I have a lot of his traits,
Oh yeah, clearly,
I
yeah.
write, but I was a journalist a period of time. We had a really tight relationship. She was a bohemian. He was an artist. He wrote poetry. He published books. My mom was more like a businesswoman, not as nurturing, very business, matter of fact kind of personality. So I feel that I was very blessed to have the two ends of the spectrum in a
Yeah,
way,
you did. Yeah. Why do you think you got the cancer? I'm just.
I have learned after a lot of research and search, that there is no coincidence that the reason why I had cancer in my three chakras, which is my throat, my heart, and my uterus, is because I was lacking. I was lacking something. When you have cancer, there's people that believe when you have cancer in your throat, it's because you're not able to speak whatever is hurting you. When you have cancer in your heart, it's because you have a horrendous pain, and when emotional pain. When you have cancer in your uterus, it's because of your relationship with your mother and what is missing there, what you were lacking growing up. And me understanding all those voids in my life allow me to be a better parent for my kids because I don't ever want them to go through that. So when I talk to them, I can tell them my opinion and about something. I'm always open to hear their opinion, and we have an honest conversation. When they were little, although they were little and they were not making the decisions for me, I will still run some things through them so they feel acknowledged and empowered. And I will tell them, I am going to make the final decision, but I'm curious to know how do you feel about this? And at the end of the day, I was the adult and I will be the one making the decision, but I will make sure that they felt heard, that they knew that I was listening. And then if I made a decision that didn't align with what they wanted, it was because I, as an adult, considered that that was the best decision for us as a family.
Beautiful. So tell us about your spirituality today.
I am very spiritual in the sense that I was raised Catholic and I go to church probably 4 times a year on the main things. I go to temple the same amount because my husband is Jewish, so I go to temple and all the songs, and I'm very involved in the community. But as far as practicing, I have a direct relationship with God. I know. And I believe that I am a piece of the masterpiece. I do believe that. I believe that I am here for a reason, that I have a purpose. I'm aligned with my values, and that's part of my spirituality. I'm guided by the golden rule. I don't do others what I don't want others to do to me, and sometimes it's hard, and I try to do the right thing, even if nobody's doing it, and not do the wrong thing, even if everybody's doing it. So
I
it's,
love that. So good.
I think that is, it's a work in process. Every day we learn something about somebody else and we learn something about ourselves. And when things don't go our way, I don't question it anymore. And that is a huge part of my spirituality. I receive it. And I try to understand why that didn't happen or why did happen. And what's the lesson there for me? Because I truly believe that I came to this world to be happy, not to suffer. So if something is not happening that I wanted, then I need to rescue whatever it is in that lesson that can serve me understand better why that didn't happen. So rejection for me, for example, Linda, is not personal. It used to be personal. I used to be the kid who was afraid to make a party because maybe somebody's not gonna come. I don't live my life like that anymore. If somebody doesn't choose me, I'm not the right candidate for them. But it has nothing to do with my value or who I am.
I
And
love
that
that.
for me is
Huge.
so big
That's
because
big.
I took that weight out. I don't feel, oh my gosh, I need to be the flavor of the week for everyone.
Right. Well, we never will. We'll never be everybody's cup of tea. Never. So why try? I mean, just being your authentic self, showing up as yourself, and serving like you're doing. You're definitely a leader, and I love it. So tell us about the podcast a little bit. Where did it come from?
So many years ago, I was reading a magazine. And they was having an article about self-worth. And in the headline says, don't ever shrink to fit. Okay? So I love it and I cut it and I put it in my bathroom. I have like a little board there that write things that empower me. So I put it there and I
Love
look at
that.
it. And even my mom came one day and she goes, well, I love that. And I go, one day I'm gonna do something with that. So when I published my journal for women, I called it I Don't Shrink to Fit because I wanted to empower them. And at the back of my journal, I have a lot of empowering exercises that women can do every day to build their self-esteem. And when it was time to do my podcast, I thought this would be a great name for my podcast because I have women that have a pivotal moment in their life and they have come out the other way high in a good place. And that could inspire other women to follow those examples and never shrink to fit to that level or that person that society or your parents or your friends or your mentors make you be, you know? Sometimes you have to unbecome what you
Yeah,
are and
absolutely.
become what you are meant to be. But this is pretty much where the name came from. I read it in an article many years ago, you know, and that phrase stuck to me. It talked to me, you
Yeah,
know?
yeah.
So I was like, I like this. And many moments in my life, I have shrunk to fit because that's what we try to do. We try to be liked and feel loved and feel accepted, you know? But we'll do it from the outside on, and that job starts within. And be out there and serve as a billboard for somebody else that might be going through the same struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. So good. So tell us some of your spiritual leaders, coaches, books, things that maybe had an impact in your life. Is there anything that stands out that
I listen, I love the Four Agreements. You know, the Four Agreements, it's a
Yeah.
book that helped me raise my children.
Yeah.
I love Eckhart Tolle. Although sometimes it's hard for me to, you know, understand once I listen to it a few times. I love the book Worth It. I just started to read it,
Were
you
they?
know.
Oh, the new one?
Emily, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Jamie Lee.
I like her. I like her a lot. I like the fact that she needed to do this book so she could share her journey
Yeah.
that we are all in. At some
Yeah.
point, you know, you can be at the beginning of the book or you could be at the end of the book, but you are part of it, you know?
Yes, absolutely. I was reading it last night and I loved how she just reframed things and how, yeah, it was very, very
And I
powerful.
want to tell you something that is funny. I love Cinderella. And I actually I have a journal here that I actually took it to Kathy when I because it's my journal here. And outside it says, have courage and be kind. Where there is kindness, there is goodness. And where there is goodness, there is magic, Cinderella. And it's like if you really listen and watch the movie, there is a lot of pieces of advice there. It's Cinderella is not just about the poor girl that got her happily ever after. It's mainly the ability of having a joyful life without all the extra that so many people need to have a joyful life. I mean, if you think about it, she was a happy girl. You know?
Yeah.
She had the end of the stick, but she was a happy girl. And that is inspiring.
Yes,
And also
absolutely.
the lesson to learn there is like if you wait for the right person is gonna come. You know, you
Yeah.
don't have to be chasing anybody. You gotta attract it. And
Oh,
your
that's
attitude, your way of being, your way of living is what's gonna attract other people to you.
Yeah, beautiful. Exactly true. So good. Yep. I love the four agreements as well. Yeah, never take anything personal. That's one of the four agreements. So such a powerful one. And it's can be hard, but it's accurate, you
Yeah.
know, because we do. We take things personal, we internalize them, and it has nothing to do with us 99% of the time, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So very good. Wonderful. Is there anything else you want to share
I
coming
have a
up?
retreat coming this fall. I'd like to do retreats to empower women. I think sisterhood is very powerful. How to choose your tribe is extremely important, who you have around. I do believe that we can only fly if we embrace each other. And when women start realizing the power they have within and how big of a force we are when we are together, I think the world is going to be a much different place. in a few years from now if we start doing the work. So I
Exactly.
love to have retreats. I'm having a mini retreat on April 20th in my house. I'm almost sold out. But I have another one, a 3-day retreat coming on the fall. If they go to my website, which is my name, ClaudiaNoriegaBernstein.com, they can learn more about the retreat and register and save their spot and apply. And, you know, I have guest speakers, I have facilitators, I have breath work, I have sound baths, I have different things every day that help us go in deep, where everything is kind of settled, you know. So that's pretty much what I do in the retreats. I love to hold space for these women and I learn a lot from them too. So that's my high.
It's a win-win. I know. I'm creating a retreat in Sedona, Arizona. I'm super excited. How long have you been hosting retreats?
Many years I have, but I have not done a 3-day like this one. I have done 1 day, I have done afternoons. This one is something that I was gonna have in April, but I broke my foot. So
Oh.
since I don't know if I'm gonna have a surgery or not, I decided, you know, I can, even if I have a surgery, a half of a day I can handle. But if I have a surgery, you know, walking around and doing all this stuff, it wasn't the right time to do it. So I postponed it to after the summer.
We'll put your links to the website in the show notes. So,
Thank you so much, Linda.
yeah, this has been such a beautiful conversation. I loved getting to know you. Nothing's what it looks like. And we'll have them check out Don't Shrink to Fit. And my episode is coming out soon, right?
Yes. And all my books are in Amazon too, or they can buy them
Oh.
on my website. You know, my websites, I have packages, you know, like you get a hat or you get a sweatshirt with affirmation. If
Oh,
they go to
wonderful.
my website, they get 30 days affirmation for free. I mean, I have a lot of freebies. I think it's important that, you know, you give, you pay
Yeah,
forward.
yes, so true. When you give, you receive. When your hands are closed, you can't receive, right? So you have to have an open hand. I love that. Yeah, I'm going to check out your journal or the one with the maybe it's better days, best days. What is it?
Brighter days,
Brighter days, brighter days. Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Thank
So
you.
thank you so much for being here. This was amazing. Thanks for listening to today's episode. It means so much to me that you're here. I know you have many options of things to listen to. If you did enjoy today's show, please share with someone you think would benefit. I would love to grow this audience and help as many people as I can. Also, leaving a review means so much to me. I would love it if you could leave a review. I hope you have a blessed day and live empowered. If you're looking for a coach, lindabrandcoach.com. You can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, all the places. Take care, everybody.